It is draft day in this scenario. The picks are in, and Bo Callahan has once again gone first overall. I was talking to somebody the other day, Monica, and they asked me if I'd ever seen draft day. And I said, oh, have I ever?
Have you ever seen draft day?
Draft day is the fantasy football player's Bible. Like, it is the only thing that you can really watch that makes it feel like it's possible for what happens in fantasy football to happen in the NFL. Because there's no scenario in real life where you could sit there and say, hey, I'm going to trade my three first-round picks of the next 3 years for the number one pick, and then somehow, some way, take a linebacker and trade three second-round picks, get all of your picks back for that one, and I don't know. The whole thing is really nonsensical when you think about it, but that is why I love it, and that is why we do in part what we do, Monica. And I have four quarterbacks going in the top five, but what order and who and where? You know, Bo Callahan's going first overall. That's Caleb Williams. Monica, I'm convinced more and more he's going to be a bust. I don't know. It just scares me how he is, like, saying these things like, well, only 32 teams are there, but only one of them can draft me. I'm like, yeah, that's how it works. Like, you know that, right? You do realize that one team will draft you. There's not going to be some bidding war and four teams somehow can split you throughout the season. We get them weeks 1 through 5. You get them 6 through 10. We get them, and then we all split them the final weeks of the regular season and hope for the best. So when he starts doing this trash of, hey, I'm not going to work out at the combine, I'm not going to do medicals, I'm not going to do that thing because only one team can draft me. Well, right now, I know it's not likely because it's a division rival, but it has to be talked about. Right now, the Minnesota Vikings have a ton of draft capital.
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted to, they could probably make an offer that the Bears couldn't refuse if they hadn't traded Justin Fields to the Steelers. But instead, the Bears have made it where they have to take Caleb Williams. If they take Jaden Daniels, could you imagine what would happen if Jaden Daniels or Drake May went first overall, or J.J. McCarthy even? You know how hilarious that would end up being if, after all the hype of Caleb Williams, if he talked his way out of being the number one pick?
So I have two thoughts on this. Number one, RG3 came out, I think it was today, maybe yesterday, I don't remember, I saw it today, where he said that Caleb Williams needs to pull an Eli Manning and say, I'm not going to go to Chicago. Ridiculous. Leads to my second thought. It will be hysterical. I will laugh so hard that I might die from laughing.
Mm-hmm.
If Caleb Williams is a bust, because I don't remember a number one player who's walked into such a good position in Chicago. They are setting him up for immediate success. So if he fails, it will be hilarious. And honestly, I don't want him to be injured. I don't want anything bad to happen to him. But if he was to just not be able to make that jump to the NFL mentally, I would love it.
Mm-hmm.
Because his attitude, just everything about him, just it sets me on edge. I don't like him at all.
Yeah, he's almost pretty much off my board in our league.
Mm-hmm.
And that should say something to those of you listening, because I kind of always try to draft a quarterback. But I would rather risk Spencer Rattler, J.J. McCarthy, one of these others that might fall, instead of the surefire bet of Caleb Williams. But he's number one because that's pretty much what's got to happen. Number two, Commanders stay with Drake May. Number three, Jaden Daniels to the Patriots. And at number four, we get our very first trade. The Minnesota Vikings trade with the Arizona Cardinals. They give up the number 11 pick, okay? Number 11. And they move up to take J.J. McCarthy. Monica, what are your thoughts about J.J. McCarthy?
I think that this trade is very likely, especially as we have this run on quarterbacks here. Mm-hmm. Minnesota, almost no doubt what they did is, you know, get that extra pick so they can move up in the draft with this run. It makes perfect sense for them to hop in here. I'm waiting. I know I've said this. I'm waiting on J.J. McCarthy to prove me wrong and make me look like the biggest dum-dum. But I don't believe in J.J.
Yeah.
I don't believe in him at all.
One of the easiest ways that he'll be able to do that, he would go into a situation with Aaron Jones and T.J. Hockenson and J.J., you know, J.J. Jettis. That's a pretty good start for a rookie. And Jordan Addison, like, he would have the pieces around him. So if he fails, you know, kind of like we're saying about Caleb Williams, then he just wasn't able to do this. Then at number five, not the L.A. Chargers, the Arizona Cardinals trade back up because the Vikings didn't take a wide receiver. And don't anybody say, well, this isn't realistic that a team would trade down and then trade back in. Y'all watch it's Houston,
very
right?
realistic.
Yeah, like, you watched Houston last year pick at two and then trade back into three. So, like, don't tell me it doesn't happen. It can. I have the Cardinals trading back up for none other than Malik Nabers. So, Monica, the first five picks, what are your thoughts?
I think as we're going in this draft, we're getting more and more realistic as we go. And the Chargers, we're both very much in agreement what they're going to do here. And I think what they've done in free agency kind of tips it. That individual is going to be available going on down. Mm-hmm. This, they can give him up. They can give that pick up, still get the player they want, and accumulate more picks. It only makes too much sense. It only makes too much sense.
Number 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. At number 6, the Giants take Joe Alt, tackle, Notre Dame. Number 7, the Titans take Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver out of Ohio State. Number 8, the Falcons take defensive lineman Byron Murphy II. You got to have the ability to rush the passer. If you can do that, the Falcons are pretty much a shoe into the playoffs. Number 9, Olu Fashanu to the Bears. You're going to have to protect Caleb Williams if you're going to draft him this high. Don't make the same mistake you made with Mitch Trubisky and with Justin Fields. Get the man a bookend tackle and call it a night. Number 10, Talise Fuaga from Oregon State. This makes perfect sense because Tyron Smith only signed a one-year deal. So you get a tackle. That way, if Smith either plays poorly or doesn't re-sign at the end of this year, you've got somebody kind of in waiting that got to train with him, learn from him. Best of both worlds. Monica, 6 through 10, your thoughts, go.
Fuaga is my favorite tackle in this class.
He's getting there. I think I still wish that the draft network was working. That someone took their site down and they've been trying to restore the mock draft simulator. I miss that. It was so much easier to use and is just an awesome thing. No offense, PFF. I know you're not probably even listening, but I just don't think your rankings are accurate sometimes. And I've seen the draft networks be a lot more accurate, but I digress. 11 through 15. Chargers in the Minnesota spot take tight end Brock Bowers. This wide receiver class is loaded. The tight end class isn't really loaded. And if you're going to do this, I understand someone might say, but you passed up on Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers. Yeah, because Jalen Polk will be there in the second round. And that I picked up from this trade with Arizona. Yeah, there's going to be some wide receivers that will be there. It's okay. You have the chance to make this work. Number 12, Cooper DeJean to the Broncos, cornerback. Number 13, Quinyon Mitchell. He just seems like a Raider to me the more I look at him. Possible that he plays kind of like they like to play. Number 14, Roma Dunze to the Saints. He's a wide receiver, and I think some might question and criticize why a wide receiver there. Because they're letting Michael Thomas go. You're going to have to draft him. You're going to have to get another receiver in there. And Odunze is no consolation prize. And then at 15, Aterian Arnold to the Indianapolis Colts. Monica, what are your thoughts on 11 through 15?
So 11, of course, you know, we've been saying that this entire time. So what I've been seeing, obviously big Broncos fan, what I've been seeing a lot is there's quite a few people who Aterian Arnold, they're giving him a pro comp of Pat Surtain.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly would not be surprised to see DeJean and Arnold switch.
Yeah. Okay.
Because if Arnold is even 75% of what Surtain is, that is elite. Corners to begin your rebuilding process.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't complain with DeJean either, but I do think with how much the Broncos like Surtain, Arnold is a likelier pick, but I would be okay with either of those. Mitchell to the Raiders. Raiders gonna Raider.
Yep.
And Mitchell was what? I believe he was the fastest corner in the combine, so that just makes perfect sense. And then Odunze, you kind of mentioned that already.
Number 16 through 20. At 16, linebacker Peyton Wilson to the Seattle Seahawks. And then at 17, Dallas Turner to the Jaguars. Jaguars need to get some help for Josh Allen. And if you can't re-sign Josh Allen, you got to have somebody to take his place. Dallas Turner can clearly do that. Troy Fatanu to the Cincinnati Bengals. He's a tackle. They lost a tackle in Jonah Williams, I believe is his name.
Yeah,
Jonah. And yeah, they're going to have to replace him. Washington played in the championship last year. Troy Fatanu will benefit from that, and I think he'll be a good tackle for the Bengals to have. You got to continue to protect Joe Burrow. At number 19, probably some of the biggest news that we didn't cover yet, and we should have. Sorry. Aaron Donald retired. And
that's Jerzon, crazy.
Yeah, Jerzon Newton, to me, a defensive lineman, seems like a really good fit for them. And then at 20 with the Steelers, I'm sticking with the offensive line right now. Some might say wide receiver is a priority. Wait and see what we bring in. We did sign Van Jefferson. We bring him in. He's going to be a role player, but he's at least a body in the room that we didn't have before. George Pickens and Calvin Austin, I think, can still be a good tandem together. And there's a chance we're going to sign Mike Williams. By the time this airs, maybe we lost out on him. I still think Jackson Powers Johnson is the move there. So talk about 16 with the Seahawks taking Peyton Wilson through 20. What are your thoughts?
I do like the Peyton Wilson, and I think that makes a really good replacement for Jordan Brooks, right?
Yeah, and Bobby Wagner too.
Yeah. And I think that he would fit in really well. Dallas Turner, Jacksonville, they seem to have a bit of an edge to them. And Dallas Turner definitely has a bit of edge to him, so that would be very interesting. Fatanu, I believe that Washington had their offensive line won the Joe Moore Award, so the best offensive line in college football. Fatanu was a huge part of that. Jerzon Newton, I see Jerzon Newton. The only other one that I might have put there would be someone with a little bit more speed.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think Jerzon Newton makes a lot of sense. And then Jackson Powers Johnson, we talked about that one on pretty much every single one. And one thing I was thinking, the center especially, class is very, very small. but the Steelers can come back later and get a Keon Coleman, a Roman Wilson, Jermaine Burton, Troy Franklin. Like, all of those will still be available later on. So you've got to go right there with Jaxson Powers-Johnson.
And they could move back up into the second round, too, if a wide receiver falls that they really are in love with. Mm-hmm. They could move up. They've got day two capital to do that. They have 3 day two picks. You know, that's nothing to sneeze at. So that's something to kind of consider, too, and keep in mind. 21 through 25, this is where we kind of cover a lot of needs, a lot of different things that are happening that need to be done, need to be taken care of. Braden Fisk to the Dolphins, got to have a defensive lineman. Braden Fisk makes a lot of sense to me. They love speed. This was kind of a good reason to try to think about Brandon Fisk here. I think he's a fast player. I think he's able to kind of match the Miami Dolphins mentality of track meet. And at 22, I have Kool-Aid McKinstry going to the Eagles. They need a corner really bad. Their corners are older. They're not as good as they once were. They need to really fix that. Then Jared Verse goes to the Vikings, who did not have to give up their second first-round pick in this scenario, and they counter by going and getting another edge player that can completely help morph that defense even further. Amarius Mims to the Cowboys, tackle position makes so much sense now with Tyron Smith being gone. J.C. Latham to the Packers makes so much sense to me with David Bakhtiari being gone. So what are your thoughts, 21 through 25?
I agree wholeheartedly on every single one of them.
26 through 30, right? Or 26 through 29. Yeah, 30. Just can't see right now. Buccaneers traded Carlton Davis, so they're going to draft Nate Wiggins. Makes a ton of sense to do that. At 27, the Cardinals stay put and take another wide receiver in Brian Thomas Jr., 28, the Bills. I just think Ladd McConkey is a Bill. I just look at him and he strikes me as a Buffalo Bill. He catches everything that's thrown his way during the combine. I just would love to see McConkey as a Buffalo Bill. I think he'd be a sneaky good player for Josh Allen to have as a safety blanket. 29, Lea Tulatu to the Detroit Lions, an edge player out of UCLA. And at 30, Graham Barton, tackle out of Duke, goes to Baltimore. They basically need 2 starting tackles. Ronnie Stanley is not really himself, and they got rid of Morgan Moses. But for now, we'll settle with settling up Morgan Moses' role and putting Graham Barton in that spot. Monica, what are your thoughts, 26 through 30?
Okay, so I'm going to go 30 through 26 on here. Barton, I don't really have anything to say about Wiggins or Barton. So, Latu, he's dropping for you. Why is he dropping?
I think a lot of it is the injury concern. And as I'm looking at this, what type of team is willing to take a risk on an injury-prone, you know, defensive player?
They just got Hendon Hooker last year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it makes sense.
You really, when you hit pick 25 and onward, it's where sometimes the project players kind of come into play. And I think you're seeing that here because outside of Ladd McConkey and Latu, Wiggins is in kind of a fringe first-round player, in my opinion. I think this might be only the second time Brian Thomas has made my first-round mock. Latu is, of course, been talked about as a first-round player a lot, but the injuries, I think, just it makes sense to kind of not put a ton of pressure on him to be the guy in Detroit because you have Aiden Hutchinson. You have, and I can't even think of the guy's name now. It's going to bother me. Who?
Jack Campbell?
Yeah, but James Houston. You have James Houston, who can, I mean, you basically have 2 guys that rush the passer very well. You throw in Latu into the mix, and I think it can work incredibly well for them. Plus, I think if he's there at 30, Baltimore would snatch him up. So.
And then 28. So if Buffalo does go McConkey there or any other wide receiver, how long do you think Stephon Diggs lasts in Buffalo?
One more year. I think at least till the trade deadline, they'll keep him and make it work as long as possible. But if McConkey is there, Curtis Samuel's there, Stephon Diggs is there, Dalton Kincaid is there, and James Cook is coming on, then the ball can only go to so many players so many times a game.
Mm-hmm.
And if Kincaid becomes that safety blanket and McConkey catches everything in sight and Curtis Samuel takes the top off the defense, who fears Stephon Diggs at that point?
Right.
I think it's very possible that Stephon Diggs ends up being a Keenan Allen type player where he'll get traded next year to a team that is drafting a quarterback in the top five, and he's going to be on a team to be a security blanket for that player. So if they don't win a Super Bowl this year, I think his Super Bowl window has officially closed.
Mm-hmm. And then for 27, what I noticed is with both of Arizona's picks here, they're taking LSU receivers. Did you do that on purpose?
I really didn't. I just knew that I wanted to come away with two receivers for the Cardinals. Trey McBride is really good. They've got him. Michael Wilson is unknown, and they just got rid of Rondale Moore. I don't know of any other receiver they have on their roster, and they haven't been proactive in going out in free agency and signing any of the good receivers that they could have gotten. Maybe they're able to bring in a Mike Williams. Maybe they're able to bring in a guy that could be capable of being that type of veteran leadership for them. But one thing that is kind of unique to me is if you have the chance to get two guys that worked well together and formed one of the more dynamic offenses, if not the most dynamic offense in college football last year, you take it and you don't look back. I would love to see Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. on the same team, obviously, because I did it. But it wasn't an intentional, I'm going to find a way to make it happen. I just looked at McConkey and thought, I don't know. I don't feel like he'd be a great fit in Arizona. And so I put him in Buffalo. And that was what it came down to. And then you got Nate Wiggins, of course, at Tampa Bay.
So does that mean that you are saying Arizona believes in Kyler?
They have to, because they restructured his contract and gave him like $65.9 million. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe they're doing that to have some type of way to get out from under his contract a little easier in a year or so. But if you think about it, Aaron Donald is gone. The Rams just got worse. The 49ers are going to be the 49ers. The Seahawks technically got worse because they lost some of their best defensive players. Arizona has a chance to kind of sneak back into that spot that the Rams played this past year where they were the dark horse playoff team in that division. So getting the wide receivers worked out makes sense. The defense in Arizona has not been a problem offense for quite some time. So anything you to say about Nate Wiggins, or are you kind of tapped out on that, right?
I'm tapped out.
31 and 32, Super Bowl runner-up, San Francisco 49ers select tackle Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. And I did it. I gave the Kansas City Chiefs another big threat in Adonai Mitchell. He's been rising up the boards lately, and I find myself using a lot of moments in the draft going, ooh, I think I want to put him here. Ooh, I think I want to put him here. And I don't, because there's other needs, there's other stuff I want to look at and do. But I get to Kansas City, and I just don't know what to give them. I struggle to give them a corner in the first round. I don't see one. Mm-hmm. Unless somehow Kool-Aid McKinstry is going to fall to 32, I don't see a corner that I'm comfortable reaching for. And then I looked at tackle and thought, I don't really see a tackle that's worth reaching for. I don't see that they need a center with Creed Humphrey. I don't know that they need any interior offensive lineman, really. I know they lost some players, but I don't know what the Kansas City Chiefs really need outside of another wide receiver. And you sign Hollywood Brown to a one-year, $11 million deal. That means he's not playing forever. So if he doesn't work out, then what? And Adonai Mitchell is the type of player where he's 6'4". Mahomes has that rocket arm. I could see a ton of deep balls at the end of games that are very close, and you've got to try to have it. I could see Adonai Mitchell being a type of player where it's like, go get it. and we trust that you can find a way to do it. So what are your thoughts on those two picks?
I don't really have anything to say on Guyton. For the Chiefs, I think if Brock Bowers starts slipping, watch them to make a move. If he slips past the Chargers, watch the Chiefs. And also, if by some chance they go tight end, I would get rid of Travis Kelce in my fantasy league immediately, because that tells me he is done.
Yeah, it's a fine line to try to walk having players at the end of their career. So hard. You try to move off of them at the right time, and so often you don't. At some point, we should probably talk about that on the Fantasy Football Day, because though I have often had good success in moving off of players at the right time, I have also had plenty of Bobby Wagner moments where it's like, I'm going to trade him and I'm not going to need him ever again. And then it's like, I should probably go get Bobby Wagner because he will help my team. So, Monica, overall, what would you grade this week's draft?
I really, really like this one. I'm going to give it an A minus.
Good deal.
I really like this one.
I hope that over the weekend, there's not some massive, crazy breaking news that takes place with that. That means that somebody's getting traded now or being released or something.
Patrick Mahomes is going to go to Denver for a 2030 second round pick.
There you go. I am looking forward to being back on the podcast with you, Monica, on Monday night for us to record the next week's episodes. Remember, we'll be back Tuesday morning. But until then, take care.